Your boy Russell the Fourth.
Hey everybody, it's me, Brandy.
And welcome to another episode of the What They Never Told Us podcast. What's going on? We back in the building.
Yes, good to be back. It's good to be in the house, man. Do you know how cold it was in my office today?
No.
We could go like and see our breath.
Inside the office?
Inside the office, in the building.
Your corporation makes way too much money for you to be working in them conditions.
This is absolutely ridiculous.
That company makes way too much money for you to be sitting in the cold.
They gave us space heaters, but like they're like the flat panel kind, not like the one we have. So it's by your feet, and only thing that was warm was my feet. My hands was freezing.
Yeah, nah. Now, I will say this, though. Like, for those of y'all who don't know, if you're not in Michigan, we're experiencing some record temperatures.
Record low.
It is freezing here. The wind chill last night got to like negative 30.
Yeah, it was crazy.
You know, listen, did you hear what I just said? The wind was negative 30. Yeah. That means zero. It's below that. Like, it's below temperature. It's insane how cold it is. So if you hear like some white noise in the back, I got the heater on. I don't care what y'all think about it. Cut it off if you have to, but I do not care. It is freezing in Michigan. We have the heat on too.
Yeah, I saw a post today on Facebook. It was like, everybody, what y'all heat on? It was some girl that we know. And she said her heat was on 67. And I just put the wow emoji
67?
Next to it. I was like, really? Like, I must be doing something wrong. Because there's no, and not even in the summertime is my heat as low. Like, when
maybe she's just more prone to heat. I don't know. Maybe
when
she's
hot. Turn the heat off in, like, let's say spring, our house still sits at a good 70. If it dropped lower than that, I'm probably gonna turn the heat back on. I don't care if it's July. If it get lower than 70 in here, the heat has to come on. So for you to have your heat turned on 67, why you even bother? Just
Turn
the thermostat off at this point.
Nah, like, what's the point? And you know me, like,
yeah, you get naturally cold.
Always cold. Anemic, iron low. But I'm freezing. I'll go to sleep in a hoodie and some sweats if you let me. Only reason I can't do that is because you be complaining.
It's ridiculous. Who goes to bed in a full outfit?
Cold people.
And a hat. He will put on it like a beanie. I'm like, okay. Now, if you want to cuddle, I need some skin. I don't want to be bubbed up against your cloth. You're going to have to take something off. Socks, something. This is ridiculous.
And I'm all for that, but the moment it get cold, I don't care. Like, when the wind chill's below 30, you're going to have to keep your cuddles because I'm cuddling with this hoodie.
That's the best time to cuddle.
These socks. Nah.
Nobody want to cuddle in the summertime. You can't balance sweating and stuff.
You can't balance that out. When it get hot, then you sweating, then you roll over. Your side of the bed now is freezing because you ain't been over there to give it body heat. God. And now you wet on top of that because you was sweating in the... Come on.
Stop acting like we cuddle for a long time anyway. Our cuddles be like 10 minutes. Soon as somebody starts snoring, one of us is going to roll over and break
you
the cuddle.
You just be hot bodied for no reason. Why are you so like, hot? Right.
You just cuddle to put me to sleep. All right. You be gone.
You like a little pocket warmer under the covers. It's like, why are you so warm?
I don't know why you're complaining.
I'm just, look here. I'm sweating. I'm not going to roll over. Then I'm freezing over there. I'll be back and forth.
Yeah.
Too much. But if you're in Michigan, if you're up north, listen, hope you're staying warm to the best of your ability.
Hold on. I got something to say, too. If you not.
Forget
don't
you.
Don't come in the comments. Don't come on the live talking about it's 70 where I'm at. So we don't care.
I mean, I do. But I'm also like jealous, so I don't want to hear about it. You know, really, it's not the people who are like from there. Like the people who grew up in Florida, it's just what they used to say. Don't even bring it up.
Yeah.
It's the people who are from here and move away.
Or anywhere cold, and like, now they not in the cold.
Yeah, like I don't want to hear from you. If you was here last winter and now you over there and you sitting there, oh my God, I can't believe it's January and it's 8. Shut up. We don't care. I wish you was here right now. I'd deck you with a snowball if I could.
You would.
No, I wouldn't. But listen, wherever you're at, hope you're doing well, all that good stuff. I got good news for you. It is, don't know what day it is. Don't know what the name of the episode, like, not the name, but like the number of the episode. I know we in season 5. I don't know the
baby, just what, tell them what the good news is.
I don't
is.
Know what you, number you know, episode this. Now I got to start over because you always stepping on my stuff. Like, at this point, you should just know how I am. Just let they me rock. Like, let me rock. Let me cook.
Come on.
It is the sex episode. Y'all been waiting on this. Our most viewed episode and topic to date. All of our sex episodes are our highest rated episodes.
You know what that just means?
Y'all nasty. Y'all are nasty. And I'm praying for y'all. And at the same time, I feel y'all as well. Okay.
We be giving them what they want, though. Because if we wasn't doing it, they wouldn't tune into it.
I'm not prostituting myself for y'all views. Okay. That's what I'm not doing. Okay.
We can't, anyways, because all the social media platforms will cut out anything that we say that has I'm to not, do
we can't
with
clip
sex
nothing.
Or sexual activity.
All our clips going to be the intro. We talking about the weather and all our clips for the week.
No, they just going to be like this. So when we talk about, you know, because I like. I'm about to cut out that word in every clip because they be hating. Meanwhile, the chicks is on Instagram half naked. The dudes is in the gym with their package pressed
you
up against
even,
the camera.
You and can't we even can't say scroll it. Now without seeing somebody gyrating, but you want to mute us? This is crazy.
We all, are holy.
All summer long, y'all was putting y'all phones on the ceiling.
I know. I can't
push that. All of y'all let them rock, but us, y'all want to mute. Okay, I see how y'all do.
And
y'all,
literally, I just saw, and I didn't mean to see it. I was mindlessly scrolling, which I'm trying not to do. And I saw, you know, all the new rage on Facebook, at least, is video in the comments. So it was talking about going to
never.
Jamaica. And so I saw a video in the comments, and I said, oh my God. This can never, be on Facebook.
Never. Dude, whenever it went, okay, listen. This is only for the children of God. The rest of y'all, whatever, okay? Believers, on Facebook, the enemy has launched an attack on all believers with the temptation of curiosity. You know why everybody goes to them comments? Because it's just the curiosity of, like, ooh, I wonder what it is. And, you know, when it's in your face, you can be like, nah, I ain't finna hit play because right. I know what it is. But when it's like mysterious, videoing, oh my God, I can't believe this happened, videoing comments. It's like, I don't know what it is. And you can hide behind the I don't know. So then when you see something, it's just like, ooh, I didn't know. Nah, don't go. If they don't put the video on your timeline, don't go to the comments.
But I've seen stuff that's not so bad. Like the video of the man, well, I won't say not so bad, but it's not sexual. The video of the man who got sentenced and then he jumped over.
What do you mean that wasn't bad?
I just said I meant not sexual. I corrected myself because it was very bad.
The only stuff the reason why they put it in the comments is because Facebook can't regulate that. They can't, like, there's certain.
But that's not true. I think they just do that so people will go, like, and be curious and engage with their posts. Because I saw a little girl who, for Christmas, they bought her some weight loss stuff. And she was like, oh, I needed that. And that was a video in the comments.
No, there's certain technology that they use to hear certain keywords, mm-hmm. certain things that when you put it up, Facebook will catch it, like songs, right? Mm-hmm. So when you put it in the comment section, the technology doesn't necessarily pick up on it because they're not tracking comments. They're tracking, like, the main stuff that you post. Mm-hmm. So it's just a way for you not to get flagged. That and your story as well.
I learned my lesson because I was like, what in the devil?
Yeah, I saw that one, that little ashy elbow dude. I'm like, this what?
You watched the whole thing?
Nah, it's on the video only like 3 seconds.
Then you watched the whole thing. It was longer than that because that's all I took was 3 seconds to figure out what was going on. And yeah, I was like, ah! Nah.
And you can forget about ever going on a girl's trip. So there's that.
I'm talking it's about, certain I wish types you of girl trip, and that's not the type of girl trip I'm
I don't care
to
where
ever
it's at.
Be on.
It's just ruined.
And before I seen the
first
video,
thing I thought about is, I said, Brandy says you've been to Jamaica.
I have, but it wasn't like, I don't know what Jamaica they went to. I didn't go to that Jamaica. For sure you're right on. I didn't go to that Jamaica.
I said,
I don't know where they was at.
Not the plastic bag. I said, this is so crazy.
I didn't get to the plastic bag part. But when I was in the comments searching for the video, I saw not the plastic bag. Why she asked for a plastic bag? So I still don't know that connection. Don't want to know that connection. It's just,
now I'm about to tell you.
No, it's okay. Nah. It's okay. It's okay.
Because you need it's to know. It's okay.
Because I'm good. I can only imagine. From what I saw, I can only imagine what she was going to use the plastic bag for. So we're going to move on.
Yeah. No girls trips. I don't care where y'all going. Baby, we going to the Jordan to get baptized. No, you're not.
Yeah. I'm going to still take my girls trips to the Jordan. I don't care what you say. It's just certain type of girls trips that you just don't go on. You already know it was going to be some foolishness. I don't have them type of friends.
I knew guys was like that. I didn't know girls like that. Then that's what's more jarring. It's like, you girls get out like
ruin you. Oh,
yeah, whoa. Y'all, like I said, girls got the most fire PR team ever.
I hope she ain't had no dude, because she done went viral now.
Yeah, now that relationship over. And if it's not, it should be. I hope you see it. I hope you've seen it by now.
Everybody who hasn't seen the video about to be on Facebook, like Jamaica video, plastic bag.
Craziness. Anyway, it's the sex episode. So we're kind of combining a couple different ideas. Okay, so number one, I hope you remember a couple seasons ago we did our card game. So we're combining our card game and our sex episode. So if you remember, shameless plug, there's this dope card game called Let's Get Deep. Found it at Target on a random. We decided to take it back, create some spicy conversations. This is Let's Get Deep After Dark.
I was about to say, yeah, if you go looking for it and you get it and they're not asking the questions that we ask, it's because you have to get the After Dark expansion.
This pack. For the married folk, okay? This pack is for the married folk. Now, y'all singers out here don't be going to get this, okay? Leading y'all into temptation. This is for the married folk, okay? Let's Get Deep After Dark.
So, okay. We will take turns asking each other questions. We're both going to answer the question, but if I pose it, Russell has to answer first. And we're hoping that they'll just spark some really good conversation. Instead of us just talking about our sex life like we've done for the last four seasons, we're going to try to expand it a little bit.
We're going to use cards to talk about our sex life.
And it's not still, us talking about it.
You know, ladies first, take it away.
Oh, me? Yep. Well, geez, I wasn't expecting that. sorry.
To go first or just ask questions?
Just to jump right in like that. You didn't hear me and give me no lubrication or nothing. Just stuck it right on in.
Wow. Right. Is that where we're starting? Is that the level? First of all, this is what y'all need to know if y'all haven't picked up on this, okay? I'm really uncomfortable with these episodes, okay? I guess I'm the more conservative, and that ain't saying much, but...
And I have fun with him being uncomfortable.
So, that was a lot, okay? Why don't you just pump your brakes a little bit? You got to ease me into this conversation. You just can't...
Exactly.
Go ahead. Okay. Go with your question.
Anyways, okay. Okay. How important is personality in the bedroom?
Personality?
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone has to have a bedroom personality.
Okay.
Right? Like who I am out in the world is different than who I am during intimate times.
What they say, a lady in the streets and a freak in the sheets.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
That's you prefer?
What? A lady in the streets?
Yeah, and a freak in the sheets.
Yeah, I don't want you to be all out in like... I can't be with no girl on the OnlyFans page. I can't be with no girl who, like, if it's for everybody, like, if everyone has access to that part of you, I don't want it. You know what I'm saying? No knock. That's just my personal preference, okay? But I do think people need a bedroom personality, right? And I think that's very important, right? I think that's created by a level of comfort, you know what I'm saying? But I think that's incredibly important.
So
don't be lifeless and dead in the bedroom.
By like a bedroom personality, do you mean that's different from your like everyday persona? Or
I mean, you can be like that with me. No, I just mean like, for instance, some people are very talkative, right? They're very expressive. Some people are really dramatic. Some people are very intense. Mm-hmm. But that's just a part of like your bedroom personality. They need a whole love language. They need a sex language.
What's your sex language? What's your bedroom personality?
Yeah.
We could create that.
For sure. Come on, let's get it.
You're giving away our business ideas, and I don't like that.
I'm sorry. It just kind of came to me. But Yeah, I think that's super important. I think that's super important. And I think there needs to be some chemistry with what your bedroom personality is and your partner's as well.
I agree with that last part for sure. I'm not sure, like, you need a bedroom personality. I don't know. I don't want somebody pretending to be something that they're not mm-hmm. in normal day. Like, if you came when it's our time to be intimate and you just start like throwing me around and being all super aggressive with me, I would be like, hold on, what's happening right now? Like, are you putting on? Because that's not, it's not who you are in everyday life. So I don't think
it's authentic.
Well, that's what I was trying to get to. Like, what is a bedroom personality?
It's just who you are authentically in a sexual space. It's your personality in sexual scenarios. Now, who you are in sexual scenarios shouldn't be who you are at the office with Brian or Brad or whoever, right? But it's just who you are. Like, you know, I think that aspect is important. Like, for instance, if in a comfortable space, I'm very expressive and talkative. Mm-hmm. If I'm not comfortable with you, I might be more shy and reserved. I might be like just kind of standing there like this because I'm uncomfortable. So there's not a lot of room for me to feel comfortable being myself in a sexual scenario. Okay. But it's still authentic to who you are. You're not putting on a character. It's just who you are.
Yeah, I feel like because I'm super like go get it, bossy in life. Like I'm very take charge. I know what I want. Stuff like that. But in the bedroom, I feel like I'm definitely more like docile, more I want you to take control. So I was trying to figure out, like, would you expect me to show up in that same way in the bedroom? Like, take charge and...
No, I just...
Roll over.
Well, see, for instance, I think that's your bedroom personality.
It is. Like, it's like where I can be soft.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's like... And I think that's a case for a lot of people. Like... You want something that's different in those scenarios, like the guy who's the CEO and everyone listens to him in every other area of life. A lot of times in sexual scenarios, that's not an area where he wants to be the boss. He wants
to be dominated.
Yeah, like what's the episode of Game of Thrones when Khal Drogo, what's his name? What's his name? You know what I'm talking about.
Jason Momoa.
What's his character name? Khal Drogo.
Khal Drogo.
I was right. He was looking, yeah. I knew I had to. But yeah, there's an episode if you're not a Game of Thrones fan, because he was like the head honcho among his tribe or whatever. And sex was like this really like aggressive thing that happened with the girls. Mm-hmm. But the moment that it flipped is when she showed him something he ain't never seen. You know, she kind of took the reins in the bedroom.
50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, he was like, what you doing getting on top of me? So blew his mind. It blew his mind. But I feel like that's a real life scenario. Like, you know.
It gives people the opportunity to be who they aren't necessarily in real life.
Yeah, for those type of people. But there's some people who, that's how I am in every area. Like, I'm a boss out here and I want to be a boss in the bedroom too. Mm. Like, I don't think that it has to be
Either or.
Mm-hmm. It's just who you are in the bedroom.
Okay.
And I think that's very important for you to be comfortable being in your authentic sexual space in a bedroom. Yeah. So personalized is very important, I think.
I think that's nothing that I've ever actually had to think about, like, what's my bedroom personality? But I would say if I had to put a name to it, it would definitely be I'm softer. I'm much softer in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my personality.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
For sure.
Don't be smiling.
That leads to this one. Would you rather be dominant or submissive in the bedroom? That's good.
Well,
there we go.
There you got my answer.
Yeah, throw that one out. I'm not going to do that one because you already kind of answered that. I think we're very compatible in that way.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I think I'm okay just taking a backseat, and luckily you've stepped up. Now, it would be a problem if I like taking a backseat in the bedroom, but you also like taking a backseat in the bedroom, and we just sitting there waiting for each other to do, which I do think happens sometimes. Like, I want you to initiate with me, and I think sometimes you want me to initiate with you, so then neither one of us end up initiating, and I don't like that.
That's a good question, and I think that might lead us into one of the quick conversations I wanted to have, but I think that's a good place to have it. Like, let it happen organically versus like, hey, so here's a card. What do you think about this? I think that needs to be in our scenario. I can't speak to everybody, but I think that's something that needs to be balanced. I think when the relationship is predicated on one person always initiating, it leaves room for somebody feeling like they're always putting themselves out there. And as someone who, and this was a big issue in my first marriage, like when you're trying to initiate sex, there's always the chance of introducing rejection.
Absolutely.
Right. And the truth of the matter is, like, that's just reality of what you're going to have to deal with in a marriage, right?
Yeah, you're balancing somebody else's wants, needs.
You're not always going to be in the mood.
Current situation. Yeah.
Absolutely. But if it's always the person initiating, it always puts the person in position to be rejected. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it also leaves the person feeling like, dang, am I wanted? Do you want me? I think a big part of sex is people feeling desired, like that somebody wants to have sex. And if you're always a person initiating it, then it always makes it feel like, do you want it like me? Or,
well, is it still understanding, just like, I do think we need to explore this bedroom personalities, like categories, because is it understanding what your person's bedroom personality is? Like, if they are like me, who I like to feel chased in that area. Like, yeah. I want to feel like you coming home and throwing the meat on the table and then grabbing your woman up and taking her to the bedroom and having your way with her. I like that. So if you want me to be full in my sexuality and enjoy it to the full capacity, I think initiating more would get me there, if that makes sense. Like, I think that I would be more apt to be ready and willing if you just like, it's time, like, you look good, come here. Like, I like that.
Yeah.
Versus me having to be like, hey babe, do you find me attractive today? You wanna go? And I know you always tell me like you're always down, but I don't know. It's something about the chase that I like. I don't want to have to go to my man not all the time, because sometimes I do be like, hey, it's time. But it feels very dominant to me when I do that.
I feel you. Yeah, it, in this, I think we talked about this before. This is just my area of trauma in my relationship. I hate initiating, because my first marriage, I initiated it all the time, and we never had sex.
But I'm not that. And that's not fair.
I know, but it's so easy for it to be triggered now because it's such a sensitive topic. So it could be a legitimate reason, like, hey, babe, but man, I'm on my monthly cycle. Okay. But it just puts me back in that place. Then it's like,
so that just happened. Did that do that? I tried to communicate that this is not me.
It didn't. I'm getting a little better at it, but it's still a familiar feeling. You know what I'm saying? It's hard for me to, because when I say emotionally, shut that down. I shut down the part of me that was like, ooh, I want to. And that was a big key to my like survival as long as I did in my first marriage. It's like, if I convince myself I don't want it, then I'm good. If it's always like, whatever, if it happens, it does. If not, it, you know, whatever. Uh-huh. And I'm cool. And it's kind of hard to shake that off. It's kind of hard to undo that mindset.
Need to do some therapy, because we got to get out of that.
There's this thing that I'm interested in. It's like, I'm trying to think of an analogy I can think of. So there's this couple I know. They travel a lot. They're an older couple, but recently the husband had a medical emergency. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So because of that, they don't want to travel far from home, because mm-hmm. home is a safe space. It's mm-hmm. their doctors and all of that. It's this idea of like an emotional home. Or because of something you've endured, some sort of injury or trauma, there's a place that you stay in, because even if it's painful, it's still safe because it's normal to you. It's your normal. And a lot of times we'll stay in a state of mind or an emotional space, not because it's beneficial to us, but because it's home for us,
yeah.
Right? Like if I'm used to being harmful to myself, speaking to myself harmful, seeing myself a certain way, even if it's harmful to me, if it's my emotional home, it's hard for me to break out of that space. And I think I've made an emotional home in this like approach towards sex. Like if you want me, you're going to have to, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not chasing for, like, I don't need you to, you know, that, like,
you need to move. You getting evicted. We are evicting that. You putting the house up for sale.
I feel like sexually we're pretty, like, appetite wise, like we're pretty, what do you call it? In sync.
I agree with the appetite wise that we're in sync. But I just don't like the fact that there's that feeling there, because there are going to be times that I just maybe don't want to have sex or can't physically have sex or whatever it is. And to know that it could possibly internalize to you or register to you as rejection is not something that I feel like is fair to deal with.
But you don't deal with that, because I feel like I do a lot of work of not letting that show up in those times when, like, just the other day when it was like, hey, you know, I'm on, you know, my cycle. That was an issue for us. And even when I feel those things, like, I know how to, all right, like, we know where that comes from.
But you know that that's not, like, good that you have to talk yourself out of a state of mind. You should just not be in that state of mind.
Well, that's a process, isn't it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's time for you to move. It's time for you to put the house up for sale. Go through the process of buying a new home.
I am in the process, which is why it wasn't an issue. If it was an issue, you know it. Like, you'd feel like there was an issue. And in my past, it was. But it's not an issue. You know what I mean? Like, but the process is now transitioning from, like, okay, not going there in those moments of rejection. And for instance, that was a time when I did initiate. So that shows you, like, it's not like I'm against it. Like, I can't
write. Well, I know you're not against
it. I can't write in the room, like, it covers off, lock the door, like, what's up? You know what I'm saying? So I initiate. I'm not against it, but I'm very aware in, okay, what this did to me in the past, what does it mean to me in my present, and what's the work that needs to be done? I'm doing the work. I'm definitely doing the work. It's a process, though.
All right. I think it's still your turn, because that was like a stemming.
We had a whole conversation.
That was a stemming from my question.
That was a fruitful conversation off that card.
It was very good.
You want me to do another one?
You didn't do one.
I just did one.
That was my conversation.
That was my card.
Oh, my gosh.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay, hold on. Wait. I got this one. Where is it at? Is that the one that just fell? How important is it for you to orgasm during sex? That wasn't the one I wanted to ask, but this is a good one. How important is it for you to orgasm during sex?
Me personally, we got to get granular here. So I need to know, are you talking about, like, during penetration or just during our course of?
Just in, we're being
from
intimate.
From foreplay to time to go to bed.
How important is it in the act of having sex that you achieve orgasm?
On a scale of 1 to 10, it's probably like a 9.5.
9.5?
In all of it. But I will say this. I don't feel like I have to every time.
Is that something you've experienced a lot in life? Like, have you been blessed to, like, throughout the course of your life, like, okay, when I have sex, you can.
He's only asking this question because he already knows the answer.
This is for our audience. I know the answer, but they might not.
Yes, anybody who has listened to this knows that my first time having an orgasm during intercourse was with Russell. So, no, it is not a thing that I've...
I promise you.
So
can
immature.
I ask you a question?
You are
Listen,
so
I
immature.
Swear, I promise you.
So
I was trying... I was
petty.
I was answering that question. I was asking that question for someone who has not listened
lying.
To the podcast.
And if y'all believe that...
It's not about
y'all
me.
Y'all are super gullible.
No. Here's the reality. There's a lot of women just like
Absolutely.
You. So that's what I'm asking. There's someone who could be listening, like, man, I never get that. So that's not a abnormal thing. I would say most women don't get orgasms every time they have sex.
No, I to me, it's important to feel fulfilled in our sexual relationship. Part of that is having an orgasm, because, I mean, if not, you just feel like, you know, you did all this work, and then, yes, it feels good and it feels amazing to connect with your partner, but it's a buildup. It's like a release of all of those emotions and feelings and what do you call those things? Hormones that happen during sex. So an orgasm is a release of that. So if I don't have that release, it's not like I'm angry or upset. It's just that it feels like I need to.
I can't imagine. Like, literally. Us men are sexually spoiled.
Absolutely.
And the idea of, like,
not is unfathomable to you.
Yeah. And the only time that I've had sex and not is when I was just having such a bad time that I was like, I don't want to. Like, I'm so turned off. Like, but that's such a rare occurrence. Even when I tell people that, they're like, what? Like, you faked an orgasm? Like, yeah. But, like, it's unfathomable to me. And I think most men couldn't picture having sex without achieving orgasm. Nah. But a lot of men are so content with having sex without their girl achieving orgasm.
Yeah.
And it's lazy and it's selfish.
Well, I think some people, so like it's part of it that is your, the natural functioning of your body. Like some people can't, I don't know a politically way to correct can't what I just said. Well, no, I'm saying can't last long enough to make sure that their woman has an orgasm.
But in 2024.
But that's what I was going to say. And maybe aren't comfortable exploring other mechanisms. And
lazy.
Some men honestly do not know. I can tell you that 90% of the people that I had sex with don't know that I didn't have an orgasm. So
pause there. Number one, I think, don't get me wrong, we don't even need to really go deep into the male ego. We know it can be mad fragile.
Super duper.
But here's a reality I don't think a lot of women know. Of course, a man feels good if you're making him feel good in the act of sex mm-hmm. by placating to these emotions of, oh, you, yeah. Even if he's not doing nothing. But I know that most men in the bedroom want authenticity. They want realness. And if it's your man, I'm not talking about the one night stand dude. I'm not talking like, first of all, you shouldn't be even doing that. I'm talking about your husband, your man, like the person you're doing life with. He wants to please you. If he doesn't, that's a different scenario. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the dude who wants to. The only reason why he's enjoying you faking it is because it's touching on a real desire of his to please you, which is why you feel the need to like do to do all of that. Because, yeah, all right. That happened. Yeah. I'm sorry, I got into what I was saying. Please excuse my noises. But the reason you feel the need to do all of that is because it does something for him, right? Mm-hmm. The reason why it does something for him is because he wants to please you. I would say, and I've heard men talk about this, I know these locker room conversations. If he's not doing it right, you have to tell him what you like, what you don't like. The reason why he's going fast and rabid, like, is because he thinks you like it.
I want to believe that.
Now, once again, this is not everybody. Because I said there's a lot of lazy, selfish men out there who could care less what you feel like in the bedroom. And I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the one who does care.
I mean, it's hard. It's hard. The most important thing is that you're having those conversations. What do you like? What don't you like? Did you like it when I... Did you not like it when I?
Because all my questions too. We like stepping on all my questions.
I think that those conversations are important. So the person that you're with, if they truly want to please you, I believe if there's men listening to this, ask those questions. Because that tells me that there is a space now created where we can have the conversation. If I didn't like it, since you're asking me, I feel open enough to tell you. But me as the woman having to initiate the conversation when you've thinking you've been putting it down and now I have to say,
but why he think that?
Maybe because somebody else told him he was putting it down.
If you've been faking it, then you need to initiate the conversation.
And there's no space around an inviting conversation because you think you the man and yeah, girl, I don't want to hurt. I love you. I don't want to hurt your feelings. Sometimes it's just easier. I don't agree with that, but as someone who's
just
been in that
situation.
From.
But let's advance it now. Like I understand the reality of why no one wants to hurt the person they love's feelings or the ego.
I think it's on both people to have that conversation before. We've said this time and time again, before you even get to the bedroom, you should be having conversations about what your sexpectations are.
I feel you, but after we have sex, it's not on my mind to be like, hey, did you like it? Like, if there's something happening with your body that you don't like, you need to give that voice. It's your body. Yes, he married you and all that. And I'm not saying he shouldn't. There should be space for communication anyway. Like, we're just talking about specifically about sex now. you should be able to have conversation about anything with your spouse, because it's that important. And conversation is, communication is that important to your relationship.
Absolutely.
But when we talk about sex and what's happening with your body, and we're talking about who should own that more, it's your body. Just like you wouldn't want a man telling you when you should have like abortion, or you wouldn't want a man telling you anything about your body, why would you want him to tell you about sex? No, you have to take authority over your orgasm. Like, in the same way a man does. In the same way a man would just be like, man, I ain't even gonna, like, I didn't even get an orgasm. A man would be so offended by that. I feel like women should have that same posture. I know it's not easy, and I'm not trying to step on it. I'm just saying it's important. It's very important. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of men who want to please you, who don't just want to who want to actually put it down in the bedroom. They don't want to just feel like it. They want to authentically be like, hey, she knocked out. I did that. What am I saying wrong here? Because I feel like you're giving me a look like you don't agree.
I feel like you're mansplaining something. And we've tried to have this conversation before, and I don't think that it was fruitful. At least for me, it didn't feel fruitful. It's just this understanding of a dynamic that I don't think most men have the perspective to fully understand. I don't disagree with anything that you're saying.
What's the problem?
Go ahead. We can.
What?
There's no openness or willingness to see that that might not be number one, easy, and number two, received. It's when you do things like that that make the conversation.
But I said that literally when I was talking. I said, I know it's not easy.
Them that you need to take ownership of your body. But most of us who have this problem, not most women, but most of us who have this problem where we don't feel like we can have that conversation, it's probably because we're in a relationship with someone who is not receptive to that. So you saying just take control and tell them what you need and do it with your body, like, okay, that's all great. But then how do I deal with the repercussions of that, which is somebody not being open to hearing what I'm saying? And I can almost guarantee you that in these situations, the woman has been like, okay, baby, slow down. But he keeps speeding up. Or, hey, can we try this? And he's like, nah, like, I know what I'm doing. I know your body better than you do. Like, you're laughing, crazy. But it's literal conversations that I've had trying to have that conversation.
So what you're doing is right now elaborating on the problem.
And I'm not elaborating on the problem. I'm just trying to bring to realization that, yes, women should feel empowered to talk about their bodies. Yes, women should feel empowered to take control of their orgasm. There is still a societal part of that. There is still a relational part of that that makes that just not, okay, here's the answer, now go do it. That's all I'm saying.
So when I say, I know it's not easy and all those things, why is that not receiving?
Literally said I'm not disagreeing with anything that you're saying.
I know, but it's like this thing, like, because I'm a man, when I say something, it's like you're mansplaining. I literally, everything I'm saying right now, we had a guest on our show named Vicky. She has a podcast named Liberate Your Orgasm. I'm saying verbatim things that she said, but because I'm a guy saying it, it's like you just don't get it. But coming from her, it's like, oh, wow, that's revolutionary. I'm not saying that none of these things aren't real. Like, those are real barriers. It's a problem. But I'm right now speaking about solutions and going and elaborating on the barriers, which are realistic, is still not how we get to the end of that. Like, the civil rights movement, is Martin Luther King's birthday. The barriers to getting rights was huge. Like, there were tons of barriers. But if we focus on, like, what are the dangers and the issues and all those things, I mean, like, how do you get to anywhere? Like, yes, doing sit-ins in a restaurant, we getting spit on, we getting water hoses turned on us. All of those are huge barriers. But it's like, okay, we still got to sit in the reality of what needs to get done, what really creates change. So, yeah, I'm not disregarding the realities of, okay, having a conversation with the weak ego individual or the dangers and trying to have those conversations with someone who's not open to those conversations. But if we just stop there.
That's not what I was saying at all. But I think what I'm trying to communicate is that as much as it is ownership on the woman's part, it also is ownership on the man's part. And that's what I'm trying to communicate is, yes, you can tell them all those things, but if there isn't a receptive person or if that person has just never had that conversation before, it may not be as easy as that.
And so, I wasn't, and at no point did I say it was easy.
Exactly, which is why I said you didn't say anything wrong.
Yeah, which is why when I was talking, you were like making faces and were like, you know, you're just mansplaining. Like, I'm trying to handle solutions. And also, it's like, I mean, on the aspect of like, when I was saying that, I'm speaking to the opposite end where we're not even having the conversation, but we're acting like it's good. Like, it's one thing of just like, okay, it's hard to have a conversation. But I'm talking about the opposite end where you're not having a conversation and you're also faking it. You're in the bedroom making this man feel like he putting in work and you're not enjoying yourself. So now when he wants to be intimate with his wife, it's, I got a headache, my stomach hurts. You're lying because you're not enjoying yourself in the bedroom. So I don't want to disregard something that I'm definitely, and I hope if it is coming off like I'm being insensitive or like I'm disregarding the difficulty of the conversation, these barriers, I am sitting in more the reality of what happens when you don't have the conversation in spite of the difficulties, where you have a man who is like, man, I just want to be into my wife and I don't understand why it's not. Like, it seems like we're having a great time. He don't know you don't like it. So now he feels like there's an intimacy issue. Now you feel like, dang, it's my body. Like, I don't have no autonomy over my body. I don't want to have sex. I'm not feeling it. When it's really like, I just don't enjoy having it with you. And I just feel like even though it's difficult, all I'm trying to say is like, it still needs to happen. No, it's not only on the woman. It takes two people to have a conversation and men have to create space. I don't think we're saying different things. I was speaking to in that moment specifically, if it's not good, don't fake like it's good. Now that, even if the conversation's hard, is it hard to like not fake it? Is that hard to ask?
Yeah. So we've had this conversation before between you and I, where I don't know how we got on the conversation or the subject, but I told you that sometimes I make noises just because that's what you're supposed to do. And it's not the fact that I'm not enjoying it. It's just like sometimes you just don't got nothing to say, or you don't like the natural response is not to scream or to moan. The natural response is like, oh my God, this is taking my breath away and I don't have nothing to say. But nothing, saying nothing in sex, just in popular culture, it equates to, if you're having sex and it's quiet, that somebody's doing something wrong or somebody's not enjoying it. So you make a noise to let them know that you're enjoying it. I can tell you, no, moaning during sex, as often as it happens, it's not authentic 90% of the time, because that's just not a natural response that you have when you're doing those things. Like, a moan is not a natural reaction. You might gasp. You might...
Are you saying moans aren't real? No moans are real?
I'm not saying that no moans are real.
You said moans aren't a natural reaction.
I just don't feel like to what's happening, the natural response to that is probably not a, oh, like, that's just not the natural response to it. That is a played up response to what you feel. I feel like
I'm trying to understand what you're saying. Are you saying that moans aren't real?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Moans aren't a natural response to what's happening.
Most of the time. So like, there are things that can happen that will make you moan.
Okay. I was about to say, you're tripping. I thought you were saying like no moans are
most of the time. Just like men don't moan a lot, because it's not, something's not happening that elicits that response, right? Like, I think when you orgasm, there's a certain sound depending on the person that will come from that. In and out motion of, it might make me, I'm talking about me personally, it might make me gasp. It might make me like, oh my goodness, that feels good. Like, say something verbally, but a moan is not a natural response.
Give me real.
Going there. So we had this conversation. And I'm like, sometimes I just do it because I'm like, oh my God, if I'm quiet, I don't want him to feel like he's not doing, because I'm thoroughly enjoying this, but a moan is not. And you told me that. You said, I would, if you don't feel that type of response, don't say that. And I don't think it's that I don't feel that type of response, because what's happening feels amazing. A moan just is probably not what's going to come out. I might, ooh, or something like that. But it just,
be authentic. Like,
I mean, I hear that, but you also know
what. The sex is amazing. I just don't feel like it needs any, like.
The air around that is like, oh my gosh, she's quiet. She's
if you're sitting here, like, if you're sitting here, like, if you're like stone face and making no noise, then yeah, that's awkward. But like, if it's like just heavy breathing, that's authentic in the moment, then I'm good with that. But like, I don't know. This is just personal to me. Just mm-hmm. like I'm sure that's personal to you, because I'm pretty sure there's some people who are very verbal, and that's very much their authentic response to what's happening. Like, everyone's different.
I'd like to hear some women's response on that when we go live.
Everybody's like, my sister, when she eats good food, she moans. I don't think she's acting for the chef. Like, when she eats chicken, she's like, mm-hmm. Like, my nephew does that. It's everyone's response to pleasure.
Yeah, that's why I said I'd like to hear some women's
response. Yeah, like, so to make like a bold claim, like 95%, most people, like, that's a big jump for like,
we'll see.
Only being in your body's experience. Like,
we'll see.
Yeah. It's your turn, Rick.
We shall see.
That's a bold proclamation for what other people's experiences are.
I feel like I should have asked this question in the beginning, because this is one of the songs, or one of the, Lord, I just gave it away. One of the questions I wanted to intro with. But do you have a sex playlist, and what's on it?
Yes, I do.
What's your favorite song on the?
It's called Puddles. And there's it's a tie. Like the Janet Jackson one.
I just wanna touch
you. Hey, that, it's mad long. There's rain happening. She's like singing / moaning.
Yeah,
I don't care who. Like, you can't. That song's so about sex and so the essence of sex. You can't even listen to it outside of those scenarios and be comfortable. Like, if that just comes on while you're in the car with your mom, you can't just listen to that. You're going to be uncomfortable. You can't listen to that with your kids in the car. You're going to feel nasty. It is so good. That is the best song in the playlist.
So what is the criteria for a sex playlist? Not a song making it, but when does the sex playlist come on?
When you are trying to create vibes around sex. Like, it's like a special kind of sex.
Like, it's like it's birthday sex. It's like special.
Yeah, like it, like
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it's like we're having intentional nasty time. It's like, okay, there's like our regular sex that's like, you know, it's like food. You know what I mean? Like, you can have like, all right, y'all need to eat something. Here's some hamburger helper.
This one was our regular sex, like, is hamburger helper.
I'm just saying, like with the kids, like it's just, hey, here's dinner, eat. Go to bed. Then there's like, hey, it's Sunday dinner, right? It's like, I cook this all day long. I slow cook this. I season the mess out of this. Like, it's those meals that set aside, like, okay, I put my foot in this.
Okay, I'm going to answer the question, then I'm going to elaborate on something. I don't have a sex playlist. Mm-hmm. I feel like Apple Playlists got some good ones, so I just be like putting that in. But I feel like, number two, you're the king of playlists. Like, you do such a great job with playlists that it just, I don't need to. And it would feel awkward for me to turn on a playlist like, hey, I'm trying to listen to this song. And I don't think my favorite song to engage in that makes me feel sexy. Number one, he's part of cancel culture now. So we're not technically supposed to listen to it.
Having sex to R. Kelly in 2024 is immoral. Having sex to R. Kelly in 2024 is immoral. You hear me?
And I don't think it's on your playlist.
He can be on my playlist.
See?
R. Kelly can't be on my sex playlist.
I'm sorry. It's one song that just made me feel real.
I feel you. But every time I hear his voice, I think of little girls. And that automatically just makes me feel like wrong things are happening.
So I don't mind. Your playlist is good. But it's like, there are some, I don't think there's really any. Oh, besides maybe Janet Jackson, it's like really new age. Like most of the songs on there, I've never even heard of. And I, let me tell you this though, this is going on the podcast, and I hate to say this on the podcast, but I'm saying it anyways. I hate that Rihanna is on that playlist.
Why?
I do not think that that is a sexy song for like. I mean, it's a song about sex, but I do not think it's a sexy song that mixes in with
what song?
It's Kiss It Better.
What are you willing to
be like? Kiss it, kiss. I have to like mentally tune in. I have to like.
I just feel like you got something against Rihanna.
I know, I like Rihanna. Because
if you hear that song, that's so overtly sexual, it'd be like I don't get the relevance.
Sexy to me, it's not. It's not. It's a song about sex, but that song is not sexy to me. That's just my personal. You know,
I feel like to each his own. To each his own.
I will say though, as a married person who was sexually active before marriage. I don't think that playlists are for married people. I just don't see where it plays in. Now, maybe like kids. You said.
Kids, you trying to muffle noise. You trying to let it be known, like, don't come in here.
I feel like when I was in the world and I was single before I got married the first time, like, it was a vibe. Like, if he put on a playlist, I knew he cared about me. At least that's what I was telling myself, right? I see the delusion in that now, just so everybody knows. But it felt like he was making an effort. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you turn on the playlist, something about to happen. I was usually disappointed, but at least it started off good. But now I just feel like it'd be wasting time. Like, I don't need you to try to find a perfect song on the playlist and do all that. Like, just come on. Let's do what we got to do. Let's have fun. See, like,
come on.
I mean, I'm saying,
come on,
I know what's coming, so I'm ready to get to that. I don't need you to put on the playlist and dim the lights and
sometimes
I don't need all that.
Yeah, sometimes I just be wanting to like set the mood a little more.
I don't
like,
think we do that very often.
That's why it's special. It's like, yo, this sex right here we about to have is not our regular degular. We finna do something new. We gonna try something.
Ain't newbie though.
There's certain positions that you just reserve for, like, okay, we don't gotta go to work the next day.
Okay.
Or we get to sleep in tomorrow.
Okay.
That's what's happening tonight. Like them, you know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
Getting the swing out. It's going to be a time when the playlist comes on.
Can we talk
on.
About how inconvenient the swing is?
It's, man, it's a, when you're in the act, it's fun. But you can't go from foreplay to like a swing.
Hold on, let me get in the swing. First of all, it is nothing sexy about getting yourself into that high.
Yeah, end. Nah. That doesn't work well. Like, that kills the mood. And then you gotta, like, if I gotta remind myself, oh, we have sex. Because yeah. I just, like, I ain't gotta make sure it's okay. Like, it just kills the vibe.
Everything has to happen in the swing, I think, for it to.
Yeah, your whole.
Come together.
Yeah, you can't start on the bed and get to the swing.
Yeah, nah.
You gotta start on the swing.
Yeah. Maybe that's where we've been messing up.
Maybe. But then it's also inconvenient. It's like.
First of all, because who got the upper body strength?
You just about to be dangling the whole time.
To lift themselves up in there. I'd be like, hold on.
Finna dangle the whole time? Because that don't seem like it's convenient. Like, that don't seem practical.
We have not mastered. I mean, the first time, it was a great time.
Man. Second time, we almost broke the door. Like, yeah. That didn't work.
Okay.
What?
We're done.
Did I go too far? Did I go too far?
Next question, please.
That was your question?
Yes, it was.
These just be like, how much time we got left? We'll wrap this thing up because now we have just lost it. Do you? Nah, I don't want to ask that.
Okay, I'm going to ask mine and you can find yours because this is the one that I had that was in a two-part.
You've talked about all of these like through other questions.
Okay, perfect. So mine is like a two-part question. Can I ask it or you got one?
Go for it.
Okay. How do you know? Well, no, excuse me. What do you know about sex now that you wish you had known sooner?
The female anatomy. I had to learn that. And I will say that in a lot of what we were talking about earlier comes from like real life experience. So like, I think most young men in America learn how to have sex from what they see, especially in today's climate where like, every kid got a cell phone. Back in the day, you had to work to find some porn. Mm-hmm. You had to work to find nasty material. Now, it's just like readily available. Most young men are just acting out what they saw on films. Most of that isn't practical. if you listen to these porn stars talk, they don't even enjoy it. They're like, no, this is a job. Yeah. I did not enjoy that. It was painful, yada, yada. Meanwhile, we sit here acting out what we see because we think trying to mimic it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really understand it. So that's the thing we were talking about earlier and how fired up I got. It came from a real place because my first marriage, I don't think she was enjoying sex.
Mm-hmm. And you just wanted her to say something.
I wish I would have known that because mm-hmm. You know me in an area. I'm a pleaser. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of what I enjoy in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. So within reason, for the most part, I'm really malleable in the bedroom space because my pleasure comes from pleasing. Mm-hmm. So if you really enjoy being submissive, I know how to be the dominant and I can feed into that. And vice versa because I want to please. If you're not being pleased, I'm not enjoying myself. If I find out after the fact that you weren't pleased, that you were just suffering through it. We've had experiences where you're like, you know, I didn't really like the last time. I'm sitting there like, ooh. So you just like, or you're like, that kind of hurt. I'm like, yo, no. Did I hurt you? I'm mortified because I don't like that feeling. So I don't even remember your question. I done went all down the street.
It was, what do you know now that you wish you knew before?
The female anatomy. There's so many working parts. Ours is just kind of like straightforward.
No pun intended.
Yeah, one tool mm-hmm. that you, it's like a couple motions and you good to go. But the female anatomy, the parts of the body, like the clitoris, how to treat that, how to touch that, the G-spot, where is that? During intercourse, okay, what does penetration do for the female anatomy? Okay, penetration, aside from clitoral stimulation, what does that do for the female anatomy? I ain't know these things. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, like, because what you see on these movies, like, you think the harder or the more aggressive you are.
I'm sorry.
Grow up, you child. But, like, the more aggressive you are in the bedroom, like, oh, the more she'll like. It's like, nah, that's not always what it is. And I wish I knew that ahead of time.
Okay, so this is like the two parts. So it says, has your view on sex changed over the years and how?
Yes.
Your view has changed?
Yes.
How has it changed?
It's a shared experience. Sex, I think I always wanted it to be that, but it wasn't always. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, and that's kind of like feeding off what I was saying. Like, when you don't understand the female anatomy, you think because you're having a great time, they're having a great time too. But if you don't know how to work with that equipment, you know what I'm saying? Like, they might not be having the same experience that you're having. But when you're mindful of that, when you go into sex with the mindset of like, okay, the person I'm with, I want to please and I want to make sure I know exactly what they like, how they like it, and make sure I'm fulfilling that, you know, it changes your viewpoint. When sex stops being what can I get versus what can I give, that's when it's really bomb. When both y'all come to table with that, it's going to be over.
I think that my answers are very similar to yours. And the fact of what do I know now that I wish I'd known sooner is exactly what we talked about, that it's okay for me to say, number one, no, because I think girls grow up, with at least back in from my day, girls are now going to therapy. I got teenagers in my youth program that are going to therapy and talking about what they learned and how their experiences are different. But I believe in the context that we grew up in, in generations before us, it didn't feel as okay to tell a guy no. I was one of the people in my friend group who waited later to have sex, and later is 17. It was girls in my friend group who was having sex at 11 and 12 years old because that's what the guy that they were interested in wanted to do. And if you say no, you lose that attention. And I'm going to speak for my friend group. A lot of us probably didn't feel empowered to just say no because we didn't want to lose that attention, because a lot of us were seeking that attention that we didn't get elsewhere. So when an older guy is showing you attention, but the expectation on the other end of that is you got to share your body with him, you do it so that you don't lose the attention. And I can say 100% that the first time that I had sex was not something that I wanted to do, but it was something that I was willing to do to keep the interest of the person that I was with. And he point blank told me, like, the girls that I'm with, they down with it. And if you're not down with it, then I'm not going to be with you. And in the my sphere of context that I was dealing with, I wanted to stick with him more than I wanted to stick with what I believe was sacred to me.
Mm.
And I do believe that that's just something when we're taught we want, you should be desired by a man. You should do this to be desired by a man. You want to grow up and get married. Like, it's just ingrained in us that it's really not about what you want. It's about what he wants. So I wish I knew sooner that, like, it's my own experience. This is my body. And I do have full autonomy and control over that because I don't feel like I knew that.
Mm.
And so my view on it has changed in the fact where, like, now I feel very empowered to, if I don't want to have sex, I'm not going to have sex. And there's nothing that anybody can do to pressure me into do that. There is still a pressure that exists in marriage because you are not just you anymore. And part of your duty as a wife or as a husband is to meet your husband's sexual needs because you don't want him to go elsewhere. This is the only place that he can get it. And sometimes you have to sacrifice what you feel. And I now know that sacrificing what I feel is not giving away my power. It's of my honor and my privilege to share that with my husband. And I don't think I knew that in my first marriage. I definitely felt like I was losing a part of myself to make sure that he was whole.
Mm. That's good. That's good. I got one more.
All right. Lay it on me.
This is a light one. Would you be open to showering together and bathing one another?
First of all, that's so freaking unrealistic. Like,
I hate it. Can we talk? That's why I picked this out.
So freaking unrealistic. Now, if we're in Mexico and they got an outside shower and is, or they have a shower room with a bench and we can do things. But first, water does not create lubrication. It creates friction. So having
intercourse away from the natural
in the bathtub is like
swimming pool.
And then you move in, so you're splashing everywhere. Who cleaning that up? Not me. Those are the things I think about. Like, nah, I'm good. Like, it's fine.
It's not practical.
It's not at all.
And I hate
it's movie stuff.
Movies make, they hype that up so much.
It's movie stuff.
Because I think it looks better than, like, the practical. Like,
it look real sexy. The bubbles flowing all over you, coming down your body.
But then, like, when you think about, even just, like, even aside from sex,
mm-hmm.
like, just taking a bath with somebody, like, that's kind of nasty.
Well, I don't think it's nasty.
I mean, it depends on who you're bathing with, though. But, like, for the dude that works in the factory. And, like,
well, that's not the situation where we're taking baths together. It's just, I'm like, just your saying, playlist.
I'm just saying, if you're taking a bath with somebody, you're, like, literally sitting in their soup. Like, it's their...
I sit in your soup.
You don't want to sit in my soup, baby.
If you tell, like, me I don't want to sit in your soup,
you don't want to sit in my soup, baby. I'm just telling you. Just take my word for it. Like, and I'm just, I don't know if I'm a little weird like that, but just when it's your own shower, your own bath, like, that's one thing, but, like, I don't want to see stuff floating in the water and be like, what is that?
What is floating in the water?
It could be a pube. It could be hair. It could be, I mean, like, you ever, like,
don't say
it could be lint. It could be lint, though, or something. Like, just when you see stuff in the water, you're like, what is that? Like, what? Like, I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't even want to think about that stuff. It's never as sexy as it is in the movies. Now, once again, if you're, like, somewhere that has a bigger tub, like a resort or something, that's different. But even in the shower, like, somebody blocking the hot water, you cold on the other side. Like,
so
it's,
we gotta have a shower room that got the dual shower heads and the rainfall one from the top. But then I don't want
to
get,
once again, you
wet
in a resort. That, but I say, that don't even apply to black women, because who letting it, them shower heads don't, those not for us.
Like, you'll be in the shower like this. Said, I'm not, do not get my hair wet. I remember
even practical.
I tried that, and I literally was given that instruction the whole time. Like, hold on, wait, don't get my hair wet.
It's different with locks now, right? You free.
Nah, I still get new growth that get puffy that I don't want to walk around with.
I got you.
I'm good.
I got you.
I'm good.
Yeah, nah, miss me with the bath and the shower. I'm good.
It might might work for some people. I just don't think it's practical for us.
I feel you. Yeah. Who gonna clean that up?
Yeah.
You stupid. That should be David episode. Who gonna clean that up?
Thrushing around and the water getting everywhere. Thrushing. All around the toilet and get my bath mat wet. No. I'm done.
Oh my God. All right, y'all.
Yeah. Y'all, I cannot wait till y'all come to the live on Thursday.
I'm nervous.
8:30 p.m. Please come in the spirit of cleanliness and don't be trying to be super raunchy and get us in trouble. But there's some questions that we talked about that I really need to get some other opinions on, not for just sure. Be my thoughts and opinions.
For sure. Likewise. All right, y'all. We will see you on Thursday, 8:30 p.m. ish, heavy on the ish. If we not there at 8:30, don't leave. Just come right back. Give us a couple minutes. Come on back. That's Eastern Standard Time, okay? So if you're on the West Coast, if you're Central Standard Time, you might need to Google the time adjustment, but it's Eastern Standard Time. Come kick it with us. I can't say it enough. The lives are lit. The episodes are dope, but the lives are where it's at. You wouldn't be at the lives.
And if you would like to support the show, you can hit us up on Cash App. That's $ What They Never Told Us. Of course, you can always like, share, and comment on Facebook, which puts a little bit of money in our pockets. And now our podcast streaming platform is allowing us to take subscriptions. So if you click the link that's in the description of the video or the podcast that you are listening to, you can support the show for a low amount of $3 per month.
Whoop. Y'all, I'm nervous for dinner tonight. We having vegetables only. And I am so scared.
It'll be fine.
I'm so scared. It's roasted vegetables. I tasted one of them and it tasted good. So if all of them taste like that, then we're good. And if not, I'll just pick out the squash.
Yeah, see, you like butternut squash. You didn't even know that.
Didn't know that. And I don't think after this.
I'm going to incorporate it in our meals now.
The only reason I like it is because it tastes like potatoes. But if I had to choose between that and potatoes, give me potatoes.
But butternut squash is more healthy. So look at that. You get the same flavor and health benefits.
There's a little after vegetable-y taste.
It's not. Okay, y'all. We out of here. We love.
Y'all should love too.
Peace.
Peace.